Total Tuscany Podcast, number 9. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined by my good friend and partner, Mr. Pat Campagna. What's up, Pat?
How are you, Travis? Good morning.
I'm good. I'm very, very good. You know, as we deliver this Total Tuscany Podcast on a weekly basis, our goal is to provide valuable, free information for our listeners and anybody who's interested in going to Tuscany, experiences and trying to find a unique experience that they may not have thought of, or if they're going on their first tour or they're going back for their first trip to Tuscany, something new to do. And we've talked to some wonderful people who and heard about some great experiences, and I don't think today is any different.
We're talking to someone who owns the 500 Touring Club, and this is not just exciting and new, it's fun. This is a fun.
Well, and that's the thing is, when you think of Italy, what is one of the first impressions that comes to your mind?
Two, Vespas and Fiats.
And we've talked about the Vespas. Today, we talk about the Fiat. And not the new Fiats. We're talking the classic Fiats. Please welcome to the Total Tuscany Podcast, Andrea Rashbrook from the 500 Touring Club and 500touringclub.com. Andrea, I got to start off by asking you, how in the world did you come up with the 500 Touring Club? Because I think it's a brilliant idea, and I'm sitting there going, it sounds so easy, why didn't I think of it? How did you think of it?
Yeah, actually, to tell the truth, we didn't think of it. Me and my husband, we took the business on from Sophie, and it was her baby. She started doing tours out of the city center in the 500s, and I had a Cinquecento as my own runabout car. It was actually the Giardiniera, which is a station wagon version. And so I got to know Sophie through the cars, and then I started working with her a little bit. And then she just had enough of all the red tape and, had just had enough of running the business by herself. So she offered it to us. And it was right around the same time that I had our baby daughter, Nina. And something really strange happens after you have a baby. As a woman, you get all these hormones and you think, I can do anything at all. And so before having the baby, I said, no, we can't take this on. And then immediately afterwards, I had this rush of adrenaline and thought, yeah, of course I can run a business. But
hormones do amazing things, don't they?
They get you into some trouble, I must admit.
Yes.
You mentioned the red tape. Is it hard to run a business like this in Italy?
Oh, yeah, it really is. That's one of the things my husband, Beppe, is so good at. He actually studied law at university, so he's really good at sticking it to all the government offices. And in Italy, it's one of those love-hate things about the country, is that it's so hard to get things done from a government perspective. So it involves running around to a whole lot of offices and getting all these strange permissions and But you don't see that once you're on tour with us. On tour, it's all just fun.
So how long have you been running the operation, Andrea?
This is our third year now of doing it, and we've changed a lot of things around over the last 3 years. So we're now concentrating on a route that takes us out through Tuscany and Chianti area and avoids the city center of Florence now. And, so it's our third year, and we're really loving it.
So the typical trip out into the country, how many kilometers are you taking the tour?
I'm not sure how many kilometers it is exactly, but we go for about two and a half hours with the driving portion, and that includes a couple of stops to look at the scenery and explain the olive harvest and the grape harvest and just see what's going on in the countryside at the time.
500touringclub.com is the website if you want to know more about the 500 Touring Club. And we're talking about the Fiat 500. What is it about that car, Andrea, that just sparks some kind of emotion? And I don't think you have to be Italian. I mean, I'm American. Mm. You're an Australian. What is it about that car that just sparks an emotion of, I've got to be in that thing?
Oh, gosh, how long have you got?
We've got all day.
It really is. Great, yeah. Because I can talk forever. It really is a wonderful car. And it's not just for foreigners. I mean, it's not the tourists that go, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. The Italians themselves will actually stop us. Like, actually, make us stop the car so that they can have a look and they can tell us about their stories. Because for Italians, it's very visceral emotion that comes with their childhoods. Everybody has had a 500 car, and everybody's grandfather drove one. They've all been on first dates in them. And so it provokes a lot of emotion from that point of view. From a design point of view, they're beautiful cars, and they came out in a time when Italy was post-World War II, was a very poor country. And so in order to make this car available to a wide range of people, they really had to make it as cheap as possible. And part of that was designing a car that used as little metal as possible, and had everything as and made it as light as possible. So it has a very small motor, very small engine, and it has such features. It has actually what rather small tires. It has the soft roof, which cut down on the weight of the car, and it was just quite genius in the design all around.
So Andrea, when Travis and I were checking out your website, I noticed that these cars look like they're in incredible shape. Have you had to restore them, or were they in original condition? Is it something that's requiring a lot of maintenance?
Oh yeah, they do need a lot of love, these cars. Fortunately, there's a lot of minor issues rather than big issues. They really are workhorses as well. So there's a lot of polishing the cars. When you're washing 9 cars a day, it gets quite the state of zen with the washing the cars.
It's a hypnotic experience. Yeah, you mentioned it. So you have 9 in the fleet. I've noticed you've named all these cars. Is that true?
Oh yeah, they all have names. They have really distinct personalities as well. It's amazing. You know, when they come to us, it takes us a little bit of time to get to know them. But yeah, we've got a car who is, I identify as being vegetarian, just because he sort of came with this sensibility that he was a bit of a guardian, you know, a bit of a shepherd, looks after the other cars. We've got Paola. She's the red car. She's a total diva. And she'll actually seem to break down a little bit if you're not paying enough attention to her.
Really?
So, yeah. We've got Olivia. She's green, and she's more of a 70s wild child. So she actually got used to in a movie last year, and they filmed a sex scene in the back seat. Mm. So, you know, that's the sort of girl Olivia is. they all have different personalities.
You have 9 in the fleet. Is that the ideal number for you? Are you always looking to add more? I mean, how does this? How big do you want to get, or do you want to keep it nice and small and intimate to where it's controllable with like 9? And do you guys lead the tour in one? So is it actually a tour of 8 cars? How does that all work?
Yeah. We always have the guy driving the first car, and we don't ever have passengers with the guide, or we don't put strangers in the cars together. Usually, it's a couple or a family, so we can get up to 3 adults seating comfortably in a Cinquecento. 4 gets a bit too cozy. So we have each group or each couple has their own car, so they have to drive. It's a stick shift, and we do a little driving lesson before starting, because we also have to do the double D clutch. But it's very important that people already have a working knowledge of the manual transmission.
All right, so here's the deal. Before we get into the double D clutch, I don't even know what that is. I got to tell you a story about Pat driving a stick. So we fly, this is 2009. We fly into Rome as we're on our way up to, you know, because we weren't smart enough. We should have flown into Florence and drove down to San Gimignano, but we flew into Rome and drove up. Pat hasn't driven a stick since he was, like 16 years old. So he gets in a stick shift. We're leaving our hostel, and he you know, starts letting the clutch out, and he's hopping, and it comes to complete stop as he's going down a one-way street the wrong way.
Oh, ow. Yeah.
And then he cannot figure out how to put the thing
in
reverse.
Yeah, it's worse than that.
He can't figure out how to get it in reverse as all these cars are coming at him, and he's panicking, and he jumps out speaking no Italian and begs a guy in the street to put the car in reverse for him.
I'm sure he was happy to oblige, right?
Yes, he was actually. But you bring up it's a stick. Do you have people that show up and go, oh, it's a stick, I can't do this?
You know, no, not many at all, because we really do make sure throughout all of our booking process and the documentation that people can drive a manual car. It's during the tour is not the right time to learn to drive. So we really haven't had much trouble with people turning up without the required skills. Although we do find, it's funny, you know, I'm a big supporter of women drivers. As I said, it was me who was so passionate about the car to start with. So I always find women are kind of underestimate their ability, and men will generally overstate their ability. So
that's in everything in life, everything, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, how people drive gives a great insight into their personality.
So, Andrea, have you ever lost anyone on a tour?
You know, once a long time ago, a long time when I was back working with Sophie, I did lead a tour which had one car that was following the line just turn off another way. And when I did finally run around and find them again, they told me that they did see us all going up one way, but they thought the other road looked more attractive.
Oh, no.
I want to go this way. How about, have you ever had like anybody wreck or do any damage to the car? Will you just kind of shake your head and go, what were you thinking?
Oh, no, really, not really at all. We have had one very small incident where someone ran into something at the end of the tour. I think they were just very happy to be back and didn't quite put the brake on when they should have. But we're very, very careful in the instructions we give to people beforehand. And because we have the tour guide leading the line of cars, it sort of prepares the road for everyone so that there's no surprises. And the tour guide, the leader is always beeping the horn and waving at people as well. It's like a little parade every day. So everyone's really quite aware of us being there too.
I'm sure, like when you guys are, you mentioned it's like a parade. Do people just kind of stop and watch and take pictures as your convoy is going by?
Oh, yeah. I have people jumping up and down and, you know, applauding. I've even had someone fall over in excitement at seeing us go by. It really is like being in a parade every single day. It's fun.
Now, I notice you're also offering stops in vineyards and villas. Mm-hmm. How did that all come about? Was that part of Sophie's original plan?
Well, no, I've had a very close working relationship with Villa Le Piazzole, which is where we go. And I was working with them previously doing bicycle tours. So it's really great to be able to take the cars up there. And we actually keep the cars very, very close to the villa too. So that following the wine tasting or the lunch, which includes their wines, we just drive down about a kilometer of private road to get back to the clubhouse. So there's no danger about driving on the roads after drinking.
500 Touring Club is the website. We're talking to Andrea. Mm-hmm. And take us through the process. So if people want to sign up for your tour, they do so online or they contact you online. Then when they arrive, take us through the entire process of learning the double D clutch and then some of the instruction that goes with it, where you go after that, and kind of a typical day on a tour.
Okay, sure. Well, we have a classic tour which starts at 9 and our wine tasting or picnic starts at 11:30, and there's actually a picnic out at the moment today. So what we do is when people arrive, and they arrive either by bus or by taxi or by private car, and we get them all signed up, we give them a bit of an orientation, a bit of the history of the cars, and introduce them to the car that they're going to be driving. And then we take them through the driving lesson. So the double D clutch it's a little bit like dancing. You've got a kind of a left, right, left foot shuffle every time you change gear. And it's not very hard to get the hang of at all. It's just a little bit different from manual driving. So we take the introduction to that and then we set off. Now, we also have little radios in the car. So this is something new that we've started this year, where we have a soundtrack of 60s and 70s Italian pop music playing in the cars as we're driving around. So we've got that. Sometimes we lend people straw hats and we hit the road and we head down south through the town of Impruneta. We stop and talk about the terracotta that's produced there, as well as other things that Impruneta is famous for, such as their Peposo festival and their harvest festival. And then we continue down and hit the Chianti Giana, which is the Chianti road down the Strade in Chianti. And from there, we double back and we stop in an olive grove. We talk about the process of the olive harvest. And we come on back through a little town called Grassina and back up towards the villa.
So that total is what, 2.5 hours, about 3 hours?
That's about two and a half hours that doing that part. And then going up to the villa, we then spend at least an hour and a half with the wine tasting or the picnic lunch. So if during the summer months, the picnic is really the way to go, because then you've got the use of the swimming pool. So if you're staying in the city center, it's really nice to have this really relaxed, chilled couple of hours by the pool with a lovely picnic lunch, just cooling down. I'm sure you guys know what it's like in Florence in the middle of summer.
We've never experienced Florence in the middle of the summer. We've only gone in the spring. So our goal is to avoid as many tourists as possible and go when it's as cheap as possible.
Okay. So fair enough. You know, spring is a great time to be here.
Andrea, how old are your cars? I know they're vintage, they're original, but what's the when did the Fiat 500 first come out, and what's the oldest car in the fleet, and what's the newest car in the fleet?
The Fiat, they first came out in 1954, and we did have a car that was it from the 1950s. That was Ezio, but Ezio we actually he retired last year because he was a D. He was worth quite a bit more, and he was different in terms of maintenance than the other cars. And somebody contacted us looking for a D. So Ezio now lives in New York City. Hmm. Yeah, and our cars range in age, though, from the early 60s through to 74. And so we've got a mix of different models from the F and the L. So the L's got that extra bit of chrome. The L stands for luxury.
So what's your personal car? Do you drive one of these, or do you have a different Fiat?
Yeah, no, I do drive one of these. Mine is the Giardiniera, so I still have my car. It's the station wagon version. It's long. It's got a lorry back to it. You can keep everything in it. It was also used very often as a tradesman's vehicle. It's got this extra long sunroof, and it's got suicide doors. So that's my personal favorite.
And what's the cost of one of your tours?
The costs range from €70 for just the classic tour, which is just the driving part, to the wine tasting is $95, picnic is $140. And we also do a dinner tour, which is always a private tour, usually just for two people. And then that's $200 per person. So that's a candlelit dinner tour at the villa all by themselves. It's very romantic. We've had a lot of proposals of marriage on that tour.
Oh, and the picnic, is that something that you put together, or is it do you work with somebody else that puts the food together for your people?
Yeah, no, the villa puts the food together. So we usually have a four-course lunch. It's a lot more civilized than what picnic usually means. We're sitting by the swimming pool, and I've got wait staff bringing our food to us. It's really lovely.
And if people are going to Tuscany, they need to know that your tours run from March 1st through December 1st?
March 1st through December 1st. Just out on the edge of Florence. And, they can have a look for all the other information. They can see it on our website.
Now, a lot of people listening right now are going, well, that is not an Italian accent, I hear. That is an Australian accent, I hear.
That's right.
How in the world did a girl from Sydney, Australia, end up in Florence, Italy?
Well, simply put, I came and stayed for a man. I did come to Florence as part of a bigger tour around Europe when I was 22. And I was in Florence just for 3 days and just two nights. And the second night I went out and I found some live music, and a guy there said, Buonasera. And that was it. But he's now my husband. We've been together for 11 years, and we have a 2.5-year-old daughter.
Did your family think you were crazy? Did you think you were crazy? It was a man, but was there something about Tuscany that swept you off your feet as well, or was it the whole combination?
Oh, yeah. I think it was the film A Room with a View, based on the novel by Forrester. That was the reason I first wanted to come to Florence. And then once I was here, I just thought it was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. I didn't imagine that I would be living here. And, I think we tried to resist it for a while, but some things you can't say no to.
So as you and your husband drive around Tuscany, Andrea, where do you like to visit outside of Florence? Where do you like to go?
Yeah, definitely outside of Florence. I think it's the most exciting things are happening just outside. Yeah, I don't think you even need to go as far away as Lucca or Siena. I really do like the town of Impruneta, which is very, very close to us here. And there's lots of little food festivals that happen in these neighboring towns of Florence that are great. When we go down to the seaside, I like to go to the island of Argentario. And what else?
No, it is interesting because everybody we've talked to that lives in Florence loves to go to the seaside. We haven't gone to the Tuscan coast or spent much time there when we've been there. How great is the coastline and the beaches in Tuscany?
Well, it's a bit hard because I am from Australia.
That's true.
Yeah, you're spoiled.
Sometimes I miss the ocean like a leg, but it's the beach is really beautiful here if you can get somewhere where it's quite untouched. I'm not really a fan of places like Rimini, which are full of people all the time. But if you get down to Argentario and Maremma, there are some areas down there which are really, really quite untouched, and you can really get to feel that you're all alone in these places. That's something that I like.
Andrea, how many people, back to your tours, because, you know, you are running a business and there is a business to be run, but is there something gratifying about creating an experience for somebody? Because life is about experiences. And I, we're recording this on Easter weekend, and one of our favorite memories is Easter 2009 in San Gimignano, as we had an Easter egg hunt with our kids at our villa. And that was an experience we're never going to forget. When you see a tourist come in and you create that experience for them, that something they could never do anywhere else, what kind of gratification does that give you?
Oh, it really is awesome to be able to give someone very positive experiences. One of the highlights of our working day is this idea that we're giving people experiences that they can take home and will cherish for a really long time. Sometimes I feel like what we do is quite frivolous, but I think bringing joy to people is something that's important. And personally for me, it also gives me this return where I always get to see what we're looking at through new eyes, because you're bringing people out and showing them this for the first time, and that wonder and that joy is something that I feel I take on board and experience myself too.
So do you find that because this is such a classic vintage car, do you find you're giving yourself tours to some native Italians as well?
Or is it it has happened. Yeah, we do have some Italians come on board. Last week we actually had a hens group. There was a group of girls from Torino who were down to Florence to celebrate one of their friends getting married. So, yeah, definitely Italians love the cars as well. Although I think most of our guests come from the Americas, from Australia, from England.
You've been featured on Rick Steves and Lonely Planet. How much does that help when you're featured on those big worldwide travel and tourism shows?
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. It's really great to be on those and to see how many people come through, say, you know, with the books and showing us that they found us in there. We're also on TripAdvisor. We're rated really, really well on TripAdvisor. Some of the things that people say when they write reviews are really, really amazing, really touching.
So do you keep a head count? How many people do the 500 Touring Club throughout the year?
I did count for last year, and it was over 1,000 people came through last year with us. So that was really great, and that was up from almost 500 the year before. So really growing fast.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing growth.
Wow,
and we're in our 30 this year, and it's going to be bigger again. So we really are loving it and getting a great response from people.
See, that first baby motivated you. You can have another one, and you know, triple the business.
Yeah, well, with the business, I consider I've got two babies now.
And I'm sure all the cars are your babies, too.
Oh, yeah, they're them as well.
That's great. Well, I'll brush up on my manual skills, and when we visit, Travis and I'll take a spin.
Yeah, have you guys ever been in 500 cars?
I have not.
No.
Now, when I was, I take that back. I was there a year ago, and I rented a 500 that was like a new one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I haven't been in the classic vintage ones.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come visit us then.
Oh, absolutely! It's one of there's so many things to do, and there's so many things to see. And when in Georgette Jupe from A Girl in Florence, it gave me your name and contact information, and she's wonderful, and I believe she's done your tour.
When I
saw this, I thought, this is so unique. I can't believe I haven't heard of this, and I'm so glad I found it, because and that's what we try to do on this podcast, is introduce people to experiences and find things to do in Tuscany. And I'm so glad I found you, because this is truly a unique experience, and I think it's an Italian experience that everybody should experience.
Thanks, Travis. We really do love it.
Excellent. Andrea, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it, and have a great Easter weekend, and I hope you have a successful tourism year.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Ciao.
Bye, Pat. Ciao. Ciao, Travis.
I've never really seen any vintage Fiats here in the States, but I'm motivated now just to go buy a new one just for the heck of it because I want to drive a Fiat.
We're seeing these new Fiats all over the place, but doesn't this sound like a lot of fun?
And the new Fiats don't even compare to the vintage ones. There's something unique, something special about the vintage Fiats.
Oh, absolutely. And the names that she's got for every vehicle, the little idiosyncrasies, the personalities that she's putting to these vehicles, we want to go. I want to go.
It's funny because I think we do that with our own cars, that we give it names because our own cars can frustrate us so much. But, you know, as we are in the United States, classic cars to us, you know, are the old Mustangs or the old Corvettes. And those are really nice cars. But there is something special, something simple about the vintage Fiats that just look super cool. And they only seat, what she said, three adults comfortably. Right. It's not like it's a spacious car, but there's just something unique, something Italian about it.
Yeah, something that has people stopping and waving and cheering as they go by. And taking care of 9 vehicles every day, that's a lot of work.
And taking care of a child and also running a business. It is not an easy task. Hey, if you like the Total Tuscany podcast, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. Please visit TotalTuscany.com and make sure to follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany and like our Facebook page, Total Tuscany. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. We're recording this on Easter weekend, so make sure to have a safe and happy Easter and make great memories.
Ciao, ciao.
Live Tuscan, everybody.